name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Barry Zego. And it looks like I've been writing checks that his body can't cash.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash, with discussion, commentary, and therapy on all the various episodes. So, listen, just got to talk to you a little bit here, Ego. I need you to explain yourself a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm.
Help us understand where you're coming from. Tell us how you're feeling. I've prepared this couch for you to do the show on.
It's,
if you want to just
yeah, this lay, week it's lay down, it's big, we'll... big, big.
Yes, it is. Three bigs. I like that you put three bigs in there because that's how it works in threes.
In threes, yes. It's always good to have it in threes. That's why my name has three letters in it.
Oh, there you go. See, it's all connected. But I said we were going to slow down a little bit, which seems like this episode was a bit of a slowdown. But yeah, we're in the Speed Force, so I have a hard time thinking if we're speeding up or slowing down. I don't know.
I think Speed we're redirecting. We are honing and focusing. We are looking the Speed Force in the eye, and we're saying, I know what you want, and we're going for it. That's what we're doing.
All right. Well, before you try to get the Speed Force drunk first, let's go ahead and explain what this episode is all about, and then we'll sort of get into the psyche of it all.
So the Speed Force walks into a bar. No. All right. So you want me to just tell you about the episode instead?
Yeah. Just tell me about the episode.
All right. Yeah. So this is episode 16 for season 3, called Into the Speed Force, obviously a very descriptive title. Originally aired March 14th, 2017, written by Brooke Roberts and Judalina Neera, and directed by Gregory Smith. Mr. Smith. Well, this week we find Wally trapped in the Speed Force. Barry is there to help. Barry's the only one that can help. Barry must help, because that's what Barry does. But the team wisely convinces him to have a bit of a plan. So Cisco rigs a tether so they can get him out. And then with a connection back to the real world, the Flash dives right in looking for Wally in the sheer torment that keeps him trapped, where he relives his most painful moment over and over and over and over. The Speed Force isn't as welcoming as it was the last time. You know, no runaway dinosaurs are welcoming our hero. Instead, ghosts of his past are there to remind him that this is all his fault. It's not going to be easy to leave with Wally either. While the team waits for their return, Jessie gets a little fidgety and decides to go after Savitar on her own. HR tries to stop her, but, you know, she's young and stubborn. She uses the shard that Barry was stabbed with to track Savitar down and goes in for the fatal blow. Well, it's only March, right? So she doesn't really succeed. But, of course, she does discover that he has a weakness and barely gets away with her life. Flash, on the other hand, is not having so much luck and seems to be stopped by his own uncertainty at every turn. Then Jay Garrick arrives to save the day and takes Wally's place, giving them the opportunity to escape. With Wally back safely, pieces have got to be put into place before anyone moves forward, which means a goodbye to Jesse and a break for Iris and Barry. And now that they are, maybe they can focus on stopping that armored behemoth. Behemoth? Savitar. Behemoth? Really?
Well, you know.
Okay.
He's a big guy. It's all padding. It's all metal padding.
Yeah. That's what it seems like.
You know, here's what it seems like. Seems like Jay's always there to save the day. That's just the kind of guy Jay is.
That's your shtick.
I'm gonna get a tattoo. Jay's there to save the day. And then I'm just going to hang around you a lot.
I'll gladly sign autographs next time you see me.
All right.
I should get myself a metal hat like that, though. That would be pretty sweet.
I love that hat. I can't believe he gave that up. He just gave that right to one Barry. He said, here, you know, Cisco, take you back. But he couldn't have put it in like a wristband or, I don't know, sticky note in his pocket. He had to put on his hat.
He's not had that hat more than he's had the hat.
That's true.
In his appearances here.
He had the hat for, well, about 10 months or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, one little piece of news that I found very interesting that I'd like to share before we get into this show.
Yeah, I missed this.
There was a tweet by Tom Cavanaugh, he likes to tweet. He's you know, he puts some silly stuff out there sometimes. A lot of times he'll put pictures from the set of them kind of messing around or whatever. Yeah. And this is what he did this time as well. But it was to announce to the world that he'll be directing episode 19 of The Flash.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
He sent a couple different pictures. One that somebody took of him standing next to Grant Gustin behind him. You know, he's I like that he's directing, but he still has a big old coffee in his hand.
Yeah,
so that fit very well. I can imagine he directs a lot like HR talks.
Yeah,
and then the other one was just from the point of view of the camera that looks like they'll be shooting with. So I'm anxious to see this. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen anything that Tom Cavanaugh has directed, if he even has. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm interested to see how it will go and what kind of direction it'll turn. Because if we've talked about a lot, the director has a lot of influence on how the episode really takes shape and sometimes whether we like it more or not.
Right. Yeah. So, and he'll be directing an episode that's three episodes out. The next two episodes here, the next week's the musical episode, and then we're going to get the introduction of Abracadabra at the end of the month. And then they may go on a short hiatus at the beginning of April for spring break. But Tom Cavanaugh's episode will be the first episode in April, whatever the first episode in April is, whether it's that first week or the second or third week or whatever.
Cool. Well, all right. I'll be looking forward to that. And I don't even think we know the name of that one yet. We just know that it's episode 19.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Don't know much.
No
about
name.
It.
No writer attached to that one yet either.
Right. So all right. So before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of this episode, I wanted to share a story, a legend that may or may not be related to the episode.
Is it from tomorrow?
It is actually a legend of yesterday, so it was the prequel,
okay.
I think.
Got it.
But it, strangely enough, it still had Captain Cold in it, so, you know, that works. No, this is kind of related as the legend of Atlas. So as we heard kind of I think we heard this at the end of last week, but they also talked about it a lot this week, how if Savitar is going to be leaving the Speed Force, another speedster has to take his place.
Yes.
And that is very similar to the legend of Atlas. Atlas was a god who joined forces against a titan to battle Zeus and the other Olympian gods, you know, to take control of everything. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they lost. And so as punishment, Zeus made him bear the weight of the world, some legends say, on his shoulders, you know. And he also was doing it with his brother, too, who got sent to what is it called? Tartarus or something like that, where he sent
basically hell
as punishment. Hell. Yeah, yeah. Right. And so, so Atlas had to bear this weight for all eternity. The only way, you know, he could not be there anymore is if somebody took his place, mm-hmm. right? Cause otherwise I guess I don't know this part of the legend, but I always kind of assumed otherwise the world would collapse or be destroyed mm-hmm. or something because nobody's holding it.
Right. It would fall through the heavens or whatever. Yeah,
sure. So, you know, they made this reference to Savitar, so I thought it'd be interesting to think about the legend as we talked about that.
Hmm.
And it also made me think about why Savitar was in the Speed Force to begin with, and if it had a story that was related to that or you know, echoed that story in any way. So I'll be kind of thinking about that as we learn more about Savitar for the rest of the season. But maybe he was trapped in the... They said that future Barry trapped him in the Speed Force.
Right. In this prison of Barry's own design, which is what Wally happened to be stuck in, kind of this infinite moment of your worst... what was it? Like your worst... memory or something like that.
I can't remember how they worded either, but the worst part of your life, your biggest fear or whatever it was. And we don't know what Savitar's was, but when Barry was in the Speed Force, Eddie, the Speed Force version of Eddie, told him that Barry's future self created this, and that Zeus created this prison for Atlas and put him there. I can't imagine Barry making something that would torment somebody. I think he would probably just trap him, and that's what it ended up becoming.
It was probably not his intention, and it was one of those, side effect things that, the hero wasn't really thinking about it this way. And it's like, you left me there to rot, and, all I had was my own memories, and I went crazy, and I didn't mean to do that to you, but that's...
Well, and it sounds like the prison, the hell that they are in, it's different for everybody. They're just reliving whatever would be horrible for them. So I don't know what it would be for everybody else. I'm worried about Jay now. That's all. I've thought about Jay a lot.
Yeah, he's having to relive the 90s version of The Flash over and over and over again.
That wouldn't be the worst thing. That would be awesome.
Josh, come on. We watched that. It was okay.
We did.
It may not be the worst.
It was nostalgic.
Yes, it was nostalgic, though.
But then I got to wondering if somebody wasn't there, would the Speed Force collapse on itself?
Right. I wouldn't think so. I mean, I feel like... See, what's... I'm really getting confused as to what really has happened and inferences that we've made over the season here, because there's been a lot of things that have been said, but it's not retreaded each week, not even in the previously on part. So
no, it's not.
I'm getting a little confused because they inferred that the reason we saw the boom tubes that we had talked about and the lightning and stuff was that it was because Savitar was popping in and out of the Speed Force earlier in the season. But he was trapped in the Speed Force, and then Barry went to the future and put him back in the Speed Force. It's like, I'm still a little confused about how all that is. Well, and if Barry created a prison, would he really, the Speed Force was there obviously before Barry created it, but I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not positive about that, actually. I'm starting to feel like the Speed Force has something to do with Barry.
And is the Speed Force a conduit
created by him or because of him?
And is the Speed Force a conduit for moving through time? Because if he put him in the future, how does he get out in the past? I don't know.
That's interesting, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'll answer some of those questions. It's supposed to be vague in some ways, I think, just because it is supposed to be kind of mysterious. I don't know that I even want to know exactly how it works.
True.
It doesn't matter. But I like to know the reasons for things, why that's causing. So, and then I thought maybe in trying to become this speed god, whoever Savitar is, maybe that is why he got sort of trapped in this prison. Related it to the story of Atlas. He betrayed somebody. Atlas betrayed Zeus.
Yeah.
So maybe Savitar betrayed the Speed Force or betrayed, something like that.
Or he betrayed Barry and I don't know. Yeah.
Could be. So we'll know more about that when we find out who he is, but I like to think of those connections. And maybe it's completely unrelated, but it's fun to think about and see if that was an influence in the writer's decision to go here.
Yeah.
So when he goes in the Speed Force, this time he wasn't visited really so much by his loved ones, I guess. You could say that they were acquaintances and things, but they were much different. The theme of this one was people that have been sacrificed themselves
Spirit,
in order to save
Spirit, what
others.
Are these ghosts that are in front of me? Very
well, and there were three of them.
Yeah, it was very much a Christmas Carol, very, very Dickensian. except that they were, well, I guess they were kind of pointing out Barry's faults.
They were.
You know, criticizing
the first time stuff. I watched it, it was just I felt as if they were all the same and that they were all kind of just chastising him for what he had done, you know, telling him what a bad boy he was. Well, and the second time I watched it, I watched for much more detail, much more specifics to see if there was a sort of an overall message that each one of them was trying to say. So I just kind of jotted down a couple of things that they said that stood out to me. It was all a very similar theme, a similar thread, but they were slightly different. And ultimately, I don't think they were chastising him as much as I thought they were at the beginning.
Hmm.
Eddie tells him that, you know, choices you make have consequences.
Okay.
And that's what he's talking about Wally. It got me thinking about how he starts telling him how Eddie would have had a much different life if he hadn't died. He would be married to Iris. He would have Joe as a father-in-law. He would be the hero. He would be, you know, this great cop and
he'd
things.
He'd be alive, but, right? Yeah.
He'd be alive. But Eddie made that choice. Eddie himself made that choice. Just like Eddie was saying,
right.
Choices have consequences. He made that choice. The consequence was him dying.
But it was, he was pointing out that Barry had influenced him in such a way to make this choice.
He was, but yeah, and I'll get to that. I'll get to that. So they were all kind of telling him that. He also said, hey, you know what? This is where it starts here. Barry can't lie to the Speed Force. He says, you can't lie. He's telling him that he's saying something, but he doesn't believe him. And you can see that
right.
happen.
Yeah, because he says, why are you here?
Where he gets to snort.
Right, and he's like, yeah. I'm here. I need to get Wally out. And he's like, why are you really here? And he's like, I'm here to get Wally out. I don't buy that.
No, yeah. Really? Yeah, that's the ticket. I'm here to get Wally. Okay, so then, you know, he hasn't convinced Barry that – or not convinced him, but, you know, Barry doesn't really change his tune much. He keeps saying he's going to get Wally. He's going to get Wally. That's why he's there. And then Eddie lets the Wraith attack him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw some people talking about the Wraith, how the Wraith seemed kind of weak, didn't take much for Barry to defeat him. I don't think it was a real Wraith. I think it was the Speed Force's version of the Wraith.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that everything in the Speed Force, because I saw another article where it's like, how did these three characters get trapped in the Speed Force? It's like, it's the Speed Force. It's manifestations of these characters. It's not really Eddie, and it's not really Snart, and it's not really Ronnie. You know, it's like when his mother was there, it wasn't really his mother. It was the Speed Force manifesting itself in a way that he could, you know, understand it, I guess.
Right. So when I saw some people talking about how kind of weak the Wraiths were, I just thought, well, you know, I don't think it was really a Wraith. I didn't take it like that. But
yeah, I agree.
So then he gets to Ronnie. So he sees that Ronnie would have had a baby with Caitlin. And the first thing, you know, that Ronnie's telling him is that the future doesn't always turn out the way we want it. Which, I have embroidered in my living room in a frame over the fireplace. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a life lesson right there. You have to deal with that. I'm thinking about, you know, Ronnie. Well, is Ronnie dead because of Barry? Maybe, you know, yes, I don't know. But Ronnie made the choice to sacrifice himself, and he had already – Ronnie would have had his powers regardless of Barry. Ronnie was there at the particle accelerator. He would have either become Firestorm or just blown up and died because they never made the connection with Dr. Stein. But but he says, you know what? All the – these sacrifices were because of you. Like you said, they're telling him this is Barry. Barry influenced this. This is Barry's. I think they always stopped short of saying it was Barry's fault, but they always said it was because of Barry.
Right. Yeah. I don't think fault was ever brought up.
No, I don't think so either. Deliberately, I think. Then, you know, Barry's telling him, he's like, I'm going to take over for Wally. Wally can leave. You know, I will, take the burden of the earth and put it on my shoulders and Wally can leave. He says, no, you can't suffer someone else's fate. Those are the consequences they made. But if you want Wally out, you have to free yourself first. And this is when he lets Zoom attack him. Okay, so Hunter Zolomon comes in as the sort of...
The Black Racer, I guess.
Black Flash, yeah, Black Racer, right? Yep. And he's on top of him right away. And this is, he says, you got to free yourself. I had to think about that for a long time. So how exactly did he free himself? Did he start letting him get energy sucked out of him, you know, the way he was? Or was it something to do with Barry ripping his emblem off and, you know, destroying Zolomon right there? Like, I thought that might be unhooking the connection, the tether. Didn't it seem like that?
Yeah, that was kind of what I got from it, was that he had, for all intents and purposes, is the safety line, right, that he has that strings him back to the real world, and he had to sever that connection, his umbilical, as it were, to defeat the Black Flash and free himself. But, you know, he had to, like, give into that, you know, attack, and before he could counter it and release himself, because he had to find another way out. And, okay, well, asterisk right there. I got another little piece I want to say about this, but let's continue on because it comes back at the end here.
Okay, so, yeah, so I felt as if he was kind of freeing himself by saying, okay, fine, you know what? I am going to stay. I am here to take Wally's place. I'm going to cut the tether so they can't get me out. So he's kind of freeing himself like that. So I don't think that's entirely what they meant, the Speed Force, I mean, by freeing yourself, but I think that's how Barry took it. He's like, all right, you know what? You're right. I did come here for Wally. I was just going to get him out, take him out. I was lying to you. But now I'm going to stay here. This is what
that
I'm was. Saying.
Yeah, that's his decision point right there.
Right. Okay. So then he starts to go to Wally, finds Wally, and here's where Snart comes in. So Snart tells him that this. I had to think about this a lot. Maybe you can even clear this up. I still never came to a conclusion about this, but Snart tells him, and this is the Speed Force telling him, if you don't like the future, change it.
Yeah.
So is the Speed Force giving him permission to mess with time? Is it saying, no, what, you have choices, and the choices that you make can change things?
Marty, the future isn't written yet. No, it's, I mean...
So, well, Barry had a fax and it disappeared, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What are you, a chicken? I think he might take it as the Speed Force giving him permission to change time again. And maybe that's how it's intended, but we have to live in the real world here. And I think the message that obviously the show is trying to share is that, you know, regardless of what we think is going to happen, it hasn't happened yet. We are free to do whatever we want to encourage that future to be different. And if you don't like what you are seeing in your future, or assuming in your future, you need to, you know, change your step today. And it may take longer for you to, you know, make that change, but you have to start that in motion now.
Basically, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change.
Sure. Yeah, that's catchy. I like that. I like that.
Thank you. I feel like I could put that to music.
Yeah.
I think that, see, that's as you're talking, I'm kind of, I think you're right. I think it's saying, look, yeah, this event is heading this way to take place, but you can make it not have that same outcome. You know, you don't have to go into the future, into the past to change things. You can just make different decisions as you go forward.
Be the change.
That's right. But the other thing Snart tells, and he finally calls Barry out on lying to himself. You know, Barry was lying to them, but now I think he's saying, look, you're lying to yourself. He says, you keep telling us one thing, then doing another.
Right.
So
why do you need Wally? I need Wally because he's fast enough. I'm not fast enough. And we got to save Iris. It still goes back to that, right?
We saw Wally having those doubts. When was that? Last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, something about that.
Yeah.
After Savitar was getting his head. It was last week. And he was fast enough, and then all of a sudden Savitar was getting in his head. Now he's not fast enough.
Yeah,
Barry has been putting that mental block up ever since he decided to have Wally be the one to rescue Iris. Mm. He's got this mental block. I'm not fast enough. Wally can be the fastest one. He's blocking himself as well. I think – I got – after we've talked about this for several weeks, I got to thinking this week, you know what? Barry is the fastest man alive. He's just not always the fastest man alive because he's got these mental roadblocks that he has to get by to convince himself that he can do – anything with his speed.
So he's the fastest potential man alive, and everyone else is the fastest kinetic man alive, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Got it.
That's very scientific.
That's 2XY, 3, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm glad I don't know the formula, because otherwise I'd be speeding around. So
I know you would. I know, even lying on the couch, so you wouldn't be able to. Now, okay, so, and finally, to sort of put the emotional hat trick on Barry here, Snart says, look, you inspire people. Snart died because he was inspired by you, Bonehead. And I think there were some other people involved there, too, because I saw him die. And, you know, I think he had other friends that were inspiring him to be good people.
Barry was the first one to show Snart that, you know, he could make a change. Like, that happened on The Flash, like when we were watching, because, of course, a lot of people may not know that he's really dead due to the fact that he's on Legends of Tomorrow and he died at the end of season one. So
he was the catalyst for that. That's right. But Barry says to Snart, he says, I'm done fighting. He's like ready to give up right there. And this is what made me think that maybe the Speed Force wasn't trying to just chastise him. He said, we don't want you to be done fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that. By the way, that's when the third attack came, only this time it wasn't somebody else attacking him. Snart just starts attacking him.
Yeah.
So what I think is the Speed Force was trying to teach him and help him grow again. It seemed like they were trying to prevent him from getting Wally. I don't think that was the intention. I think they were trying to help him grow.
They were trying to codify in his mind his decision because he was conflicted. Why is he here to get Wally? Well, he's here to get Wally because he's his friend. No, really, what's your decision? Oh, well, I'm here to get Wally because he needs to be fast enough to save Iris. Okay, really? You can't let other people fight your battles. Oh, okay. I need to do this myself. And it was a training exercise for him to understand more about himself. This was the key to unlocking, that potential, that whatever is going to help make him faster, because now he is of the mindset that it's like, you know what, I've got to do this all. Again, the thing we've kind of complained about off and on is that he's got to do it all on his own, but
I don't think that was. I don't think that was what he took. I mean, he has to do it. He can't rely on other people to do it, but I don't think he feels like he has to do it all on his own now. I hope not.
Because
you're right. Yeah. We have been complaining about that. But I think now he sees, look, I can do this. I can be kind of the lead to take care of it. There's certain things that I think he has to do, but he still is going to need the team.
Right.
The Speed Force is saying something. And again, maybe they were just teaching him a lesson, but Barry said that these people sacrificed themselves for the greater good. You know, the Speed Force says they were sacrificed for Barry. I don't know. You know, for me, I think that part of him ultimately defeating Savitar is going to be understanding that this stuff is not his fault. You know, he thinks it's all his fault, so it's his responsibility. Savitar blames him for whatever, for, you know, it's all revenge. That's what it usually is for the bad guys.
Right.
But the Speed Force claims it blames him. But everyone makes those decisions in their life that affect the people around them, the other people's destiny as they go through. Everything you do in the day, you know, I mean, it. Somebody hears you and makes a decision based on that, or something you do affects somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The Speed Force said it had to free himself to save Wally. And so I think they're trying to get him to see that, look, being a hero means bad things are going to happen. And that you're going to have to kind of understand that going forward, it does. The bad guys don't. They see that. We see this on other shows, too. This is kind of going on in Arrow right now, too, right?
Right.
The bad guys see when bad things happen, they blame somebody else for it. They don't see it as a consequence of circumstance.
Yeah, they don't accept the responsibilities for it, basically.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And what the Speed Force is saying here, I mean, is that he needs to free his mind, you know, and the rest will follow.
Yes. And I think he is starting to get there. I don't think he's there yet. Maybe a little singing next week will help him. But ultimately, I don't think what he needs is speed, because that's what Savitar has been using, you know, is just pure, just unbridled speed. And it's overwhelming to Barry. I think Barry could be fast enough for that. But in order to do that, it's got to be more. He's got to outsmart him. He's got to outthink him. He's got to rely on his team. And that's, I think, what Jay means when he says, just do what you do best. Be the Flash.
Yeah.
You know,
good point.
Just go with what your heart tells you to do. Stop thinking so much about how you can get faster, 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 faster. Just be the Flash.
And so the other part of what I was going to say earlier comes along here when Jay comes back in, as they talk about how Barry influenced and, showed Eddie how to be a hero and showed Ronnie how to be a hero and showed Snart there was another way. Here he is continuing to inspire people, and he inspires Jay to come in and take his place in the Speed Force, you know. Very, very selflessly, not putting up any kind of a fuss or anything like that. I mean, we're like, I don't know, what else is Jay doing right now? We don't know. he shows up. It's an interesting plot device to put the character back on the show, but then have him inaccessible for a while until they, you know, want to have the character come back, you know, in a future episode or stuff like that. So.
I just hope they go back and get him by the end of the season.
I feel like there was something else we wanted to do this season. Oh, I don't know. Okay. We'll be back next year. Thanks,
yay!
Everybody.
And we did it. We got Savitar finally. Oh, good. Did we miss anything?
Yeah.
No, I think we're good.
No, yeah. That would be horrible.
That would be horrible. Then they're just, you know, like 5 years later, they're around dusting the labs and they see his hat. Oh, wait.
Shoot. Anyway. I got to go back in time.
All right,
I'll be
back. Got to change something real quick. Jesse comes up with an interesting piece of information that will help them. Let's talk about Jesse a little bit. I have to say that I kind of dug Jesse this week. I thought this was a strong story for Jesse.
You know why? You know why you enjoyed her this week? Because she's not going to be a regular on the show anymore for a while. It's it's that same thing, like, you know, oh, the best episode of Arrow with Arsenal, Roy, was the episode that they decided to get rid of him. And the best episode with Laurel on Arrow was the episode they decided to get rid of her. It's it's... We don't know what to do with these characters, and so we just, you know, sit here and we kind of spin them, and then we come up with this great idea, but we write them off the show.
Yeah. I'm okay with it, though. I mean, I really think, you know, too many speedsters, especially on the team, can really start to interfere with the quality of the plot and the storyline.
A lot of drag.
I like her okay. Yeah. The reason I thought this was a good episode for her especially was because she was confident. She did a pretty good job. You know, she made a really good point. You know what? On my Earth, I am the real Flash.
Oh, so, HR sticking his foot in it.
At least he admits it, man. You know what? I admire somebody that admits when they say something stupid.
He was good at that.
And he says a lot of things, so he's in practice. But she was good. She was strong. You know, she's a confident woman, young and fairly inexperienced. But you know, she's got almost as much experience as Barry had the first season when he was fighting Reverse Flash,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she may have been a little hot-headed going after him because she was anxious for Wally to get back and anxious to do something to stop Savitar. But she did kind of think it through, and she made a plan, and then she used that little, you know, she what'd she do? What do they call it in prison when they – when they stick you.
Oh, a shiv?
Yeah, stick that right in his shoulder there. So that was a good piece of information that they can
Wait, why are you asking use, me what they use like. In prison?
Well, you know, I thought...
I just watch a lot of shows.
Past,
yeah,
I know. Yeah. You were a little crazy in college, and I just figured you had a little experience. and I admired her for going to take Jay's place since he wasn't going to be there. So she's going to go to Earth 3. That was good.
Oh, yeah. Jay's place on Earth 3. Yeah, that was...
As the Flash, right?
Really interesting. I'm kind of curious. It's like, okay, well, Earth 2 doesn't need somebody, but I guess we're assuming, you know, Harris... Either she's really kind of cleaned up Earth 2 or, you know, Harrison's got... Harry's got stuff in control there.
Yeah, he's got some more. He's got his own team over there making him. He could just make a speedster if he wants. You know, he knows all about that.
Probably, or he's
and
got
Grodd's under control,
guns or whatever. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, well, yeah, they got rid of Zoom over there, and Grodd's not a problem anymore. So, I think Earth 2's pretty safe right now. But anyway, so they get back, and Harrison or HR, excuse me, said something interesting at the end. He was all excited that Jesse had succeeded in this. And he said something interesting to me. Some of it was kind of silly, but it also made me think too. He said he's just a man, baby. So apparently they think he's human under there.
Yeah,
or he's a man baby. I don't know what a man baby is, but
it's just a very large baby, I guess. Man sized baby.
It's like the puppy monkey baby, kind of a creepy thing, but it made me instantly think of Return of the King from the Lord of the Rings movies.
Uh-huh.
Where and you'll have to forgive me, I'm not thinking of the names right now, but
Aragorn?
At the end where the big mean kings, you know, that are riding on the big dragon thing.
The ring race.
Thank you, the ring race. Okay. At the end, you know, and he says, no man can kill me. And then all of a sudden she whips her helmet off and bam, right in the face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's
so he says, yeah. I mean, that could mean absolutely nothing. It was just HR being HR, expressing himself the way he did. But it just, he put so much emphasis on he's just a man that I wonder if maybe this could be somebody completely unexpected.
We went through a lot of reasons why we think it's different characters last week. We heard a lot of reactions from listeners, and I could give you a couple of the reasons now why I think it might be Jay this week.
Yep.
And I could give you a couple other reasons why I think it could be Jesse this week. And possibly even another reason why I think it could be HR. It's they're having fun with us and,
well, and this was just another thing to add to the list of having fun with. I have no idea who it was. That wasn't another clue.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting. So
it's getting – overall, I was not a huge fan of this episode. I thought there were some good parts, but the continued mystery, in quotes, I'll put it, of who is Savitar is just – it's dragging on. It's – we need to move on with the plot line here. I think we're just...
We need a reveal of who it is so we can start developing that relationship. Because we really don't have anything about Flash and Savitar's relationship about why he hates him so much.
Right. And
we've established that he's dangerous. We've established that he's now in control. You know, we're in the I don't know, what, the third act of the season now where all hope is lost. And, you know, what are they going to do now? But it's time to reveal him so they can start developing that character.
Right, and they're not going to get to it next week, in my expert opinion, because it's the musical episode. So potentially the episode after that, which will be 18, there are only 23 episodes in the season. So that means if they reveal it in the 18th episode, that means there's only 5 episodes left to kind of deal with this. And, you know, that's... It seems like a lot, but it's really not a lot because they take all these tangents. We got to deal with HR. We got to talk to Cisco here. We got to make sure that Killer Frost's doing okay. We got to see what Julian's up to. You know, there's just
so much stuff. I think
it's coming. Yeah.
I think it's coming very soon. I'm just guessing, but
yeah.
But you're right. You're right. They do need to get to it. But before we kind of wrap up talking about the episode, I wanted to cover one more thing that happened right at the end. And you know, as you were talking about earlier, as you were summing everything up, you said we got to put some pieces into place to move forward. And one of those pieces was Barry and Iris's engagement / wedding / relationship, in general.
Yes.
Now, so
yeah.
again, you know, on the surface, this just It caught me off guard because it didn't seem like it was in character for Barry and Iris the way they were reacting.
I don't even know if I'd go as far as not in character. It was so flip-floppy, plot-driven, emotional, you know, weak emotional stuff, because it started off with Iris was all pissed at Barry. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, can we just put this behind us and get together? And she's like, mmm, 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 mmm. And he's like, oh, okay, hang on, I gotta go to the Speed Force, I'll deal with you later. And then he comes back and she's reevaluated now. She's like, okay, I'm ready to be here. And he's like, cool, we need to split. Hey, I know we just got this apartment, you stay here, I'll go live with Cisco. Did you ask Cisco? I don't know. But you know, no. It was like, we were on a break. It's frustrating because I'm not involved in these kind of relationships anymore. I'm married, so everything is just going downhill. But, I kid. But, you know, I don't think this is what people go through. I mean, I think if there's a spat, and people make up for it, and it's like it just was all over the place. It was just mess. Say,
no, I'm not defending it, because I agree with you. It was just kind of back and forth, and it didn't seem like what two people in a relationship, a close relationship, would do. You know, but again, they're going through some very traumatic situations where it might affect them in a different way than I would if we were just, you know, had a little fight about who left the toilet seat up or something, you know? Right. So I'm not defending it. I do agree with you, but I wanted to kind of see, why would he break up with her? And I wanted to look at it from two different points of view. Number one, in writing for the series, you know, terms, I think actually it's good. I don't really want them together yet. This seemed too early for them to get together, because I worry about that problem that series sometimes have when the couple gets together finally.
The moonlighting curse.
It starts to kind of... Exactly. Back from the moonlighting days, back in the 80s, with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. As soon as they finally got rid of that romantic tension, mm-hmm. that sexual tension between the two of them, then it wasn't as fun. It wasn't as entertaining. So... from that point of view, I like that. I would like them to get together eventually, because they do in the comics. You know, they're destined to kind of be together, and by closer to the end of the series or by the end of the series, I would love to have them like that. But I'm totally okay with them not being together right now. I don't want them to hate each other. I want them to still be have a friendly relationship, kind of like we've seen with Oliver and Felicity on Arrow. Which is works well for me. I kind of like it, but in universe, the way logic works, I tried to think of why he would do this. I think he thinks he's continuing to put her in danger if he's with her.
Yeah, like he's trying to keep her safe. Her, that was my thought.
And if it affects her emotionally, you know, negatively, I think he sees that as well. But that's some of that stuff I think he has to get over, understand that there's going to be consequences when you do this. You know, it'd be like a police officer marrying somebody and, you know, having to worry about whether that cop is going to come back from their shift each day, you know?
Right.
That's something you have to deal with in a relationship like that.
Well, you know,
but what he says to her is
if the characters would talk with each other instead of making assumptions. Hang on a second, Josh. We need to go out in the hallway to talk about this. Can we go out in the hallway and talk? Yes. You know,
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah,
they say
just out in the hallway. Just out in the hallway.
Can I talk to you?
But they don't really talk. They talk at them. They don't talk to them. I'm feeling like Dr. Phil here. We need to discuss all.
But that is true, though. That is true. You know, we don't really see discussions much with couples that have relationships on these shows. It's more of a one-sided kind of thing.
It's always the I want. It's not like, hey, how are you doing? But it's like, this is what I need from this relationship. And it's like, this is what I need from this relationship. You know, and it's...
Where's my super suit?
Why do you need it?
I for the greater good. I totally understand. I agree with you on that. And that's where I think it kind of falls apart a lot of times with these couples that they keep presenting us with on these shows.
Yeah.
So that's something that they can kind of reevaluate. But he says something to her at the end that I have to think about. You know, he says, I was wrong. I alone have to save you in the future. So there's that, going back to what you said. He thinks he has to do it by himself. Not by changing it, but by erasing it. No. Did he say erasing? Yeah.
I'm,
or did he say embracing? I know, I think I typed it wrong. Did I?
I
did
he think say embracing did. I don't remember erasing it. I'm looking to see if I can find the quote.
I must have been doing something else while I typed this. I think he said by embracing it.
He does say by embracing it. Yes, you are
embracing it.
It's by erasing it. Okay.
So my words
going back
on the page here.
The end of the episode, right?
No, that's my words were written. But my question was valid. What does he mean by embracing it? What's he embracing in the future? The fact that she is going to die, or the fact that he is going to be there? He's going to be there when he sees that scene.
Right.
That's not going to change. No matter what he does, he cannot change the fact that Savitar is going to have Iris in his grasp.
I know. I got it. It's not just Barry, right? Because Barry's begging Savitar not to do it. But Barry's there also. So there's two Flashes. So, of course, he can save her because there's two of him.
I've actually considered that he was there too. He was there twice.
Right. He was there twice. Not just in the vibe, but, you know, he was physically there.
No, not in the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he
he's back by
flung
the tree,
himself into the future.
And then he's also on the steps or on the,
yep.
the not the steps, before the steps on the.
Who was it? Wally and Sisko even saw him.
Yeah.
The other him.
The other
they
him
saw both
the
of
tree.
Him
yeah.
when they went mm-hmm. there. Right. So, okay. So by, so I don't know, you know, maybe by just embracing the fact that that situation is going to come, Iris is not going to be married to him at that point. Just understanding that, knowing it, being ready for it, then maybe he can be fast enough to save Savitar. I don't know. Maybe that's what he meant. What's he embracing? I don't know.
He's embracing the idea. I'm not trying to make a joke here, though. I'm just trying to figure out my words right. A lot of people probably listening, it's like, oh, he's just trying to set up a joke. No, but he's trying to embrace the idea that he may lose her. Like, there is an outcome where she gets stabbed. Now, again, her getting stabbed, like, does that really kill her? We're talking a comic book show. I mean, who knows? But his fear of seeing that moment of losing her is what's been driving him, you know, a majority of the season here, and he's been trying to game the system, right? He's been trying to change the outcome by affecting the future and making sure that future doesn't occur. Remember, HR is also up on the roof with a gun that we didn't notice before, and maybe he was always there, or we just didn't notice him before. I mean, not that they never showed it to us before, or Barry did change something about the future, but now he's, you know, and then he was thinking he'll let Wally take care of this, but now he's got to get to a point where it's like, no, this is his responsibility, and he's embracing that responsibility, I guess, is really what it is.
That he's got to do it.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I see. That makes sense because of what happened with Wally. He said, not put it on Wally's shoulder. I've got to embrace that it's me that's got to do it.
And it's, I'm okay with that. I think that's, I can get behind that, right? Because this is really important to me, but I can't do it. And you need to do it. And just remember, if you don't do it, your sister dies. I just, you know, but no pressure. Right? You can say no if you want to. That's a lot of pressure he's put on Wally. And, you know, granted, Wally's going fast, but he is he's an X material, you know, he's an X factor right now, just from the fact that Savitar created him. We don't know what kind of pull Savitar has on Wally. You know, there's a lot of unknowns about that. And, you know, they potentially for plot reasons, they are skipping around on a lot of that stuff. They don't revisit it a lot, and maybe there's a reason for that, but it's like, we don't want to dwell on this stuff either too. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's, I want to keep watching how he gets to that point of embracing the fact that he's got to do all this. So I wanted to just talk about Jay just a little bit, because he's now in the Speed Force, and it reminded me very much of different comic books that have featured Jay. And most prominently in my memory was the Kingdom Come comic books, uh-huh. And another one called Thy Kingdom Come, where...
Is that a sequel?
Jay...
To Kingdom Come?
I think it's actually a prequel.
Oh, okay. I remember the Kingdom Come. That's the it's like a 4-issue prestige book that I think Alex Ross did the art for.
Yes,
really, it's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful book. Beautiful. I love it. I read it regularly. But where Jay is actually like part of the Speed Force, or he's I saw one description that he's just pure Speed Force, and there's a panel in Kingdom Come where they show him he's patrolling his city.
Uh-huh.
And he's everywhere all at once, all the time, because that's how fast he is. And it reminded me of that when Jay Garrick got trapped in there at the end of this episode.
You know, I'm just looking that up. I've never read that before, but I realize why, because it's not actually it's issues of the Justice Society of America comic. It's not an actual book called Thy Kingdom Come. I mean, maybe collected.
No, it's a... It's like a story arc.
Yeah,
it's an arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to check that out.
Anyway, so that reminded me of that.
Cool.
Jay's sacrifice. It always seems that Jay has had this, you know, long history of being a speedster, and he is like the epitome of what heroes strive to be, and he will always do what's right until the very end of his life. I mean, you know, there's no winning for Jay Garrick. It's always just, this is his duty, and he's going to continue to do it. He's very noble.
He's noble. And he's a wise mentor.
Yeah, and I feel like they have done that with John Wesley Shipp, even though he's not in the show very often. He's only been Jay Garrick Flash for, you know, one season, basically.
Yeah.
And yet, I still get that vibe from him. And I guess part of it is because he was Flash in the 90s, I suppose. But I just feel like he has just had this really super long history, and he is just exactly what all of the heroes in the DC TV universe strive to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
John Wesley Shipp really pulls that off well.
Oh, he does. He does. And, yeah, he's really classy to have on there. And I feel like he gives these kind of hokey lines, you know, a read with a lot of, just a lot of heart behind him.
Yeah,
you know, he's got to say some pretty silly stuff, and I don't feel like he's really, you know, I feel like he's really putting a lot of weight on his dialogue and stuff like that. So that's cool, and the fact that he calls Barry a hero among heroes. I thought that was pretty cool. So
no, that was HR. Oh, that HR. Called Jay a hero among heroes. Yeah,
I thought he was talking. I thought HR was referring to Barry being a hero among heroes because even Jay, who's a hero, was looking up to him. That's the way I took it.
Oh, is it? See, I thought he was talking about Jay.
Huh. Okay.
Because he did the ultimate sacrifice by staying in there. But either way, they're both.
It could work. Yeah, it could work either way. Well, I was going to point out that Cisco, you know, gets joked about being tech support. That's what Savitar was making fun of him last week for. But he, you know, he's not just tech support. He's also a travel agent. Taking people from Earth to Earth. This will be the second week that kind of behind the scenes he's gone off to get characters from another Earth, another dimension, bring them in, explain what's going on, and then ship them off someplace else. It was the other one was in the Attack on Central City episode when he and Gypsy went to go get Solovar.
And he's got this vibe thing down, man. He could be developing this to be a pretty strong hero because he's got it down. He can send you anywhere. He can send you the Speed Force, into different multiverses. I mean, yeah.
If he's not careful, he could spin off his own show.
There you go. He could.
Yeah.
Actually, I would watch that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I want to share a couple messages from Greg that we got this week that I enjoyed reading. And then we had quite a few references. We'll kind of go down the list here. He's not sure if he's really liking this season or not. He even mentioned on Twitter, wonders if it's wrong that he would rather see Cisco and Gypsy dating for an entire episode rather than Iris forgiving Barry. Or in this case, Barry forgiving Iris this week.
Yeah.
Well, Cisco and Gypsy are just fun to watch. You know, that's I like that fun banter. It would be nice to see some of that with Barry and Iris, but being the main characters, I don't. You know, you try to get deeper into that relationship, but he's not really liking this Savitar storyline. It's less interesting, and you kind of touch on that because I think it's dragging out a little bit longer than they should have done that. And also, he thinks, you know, the mystery guy trope that they keep doing like they did last season with Zoom and also before with Reverse Flash.
Well, and he says the man in the Iron Mask, which, you know, we had so little information on that, you know, as it was going on. It's very much like this where I feel like we're past the point where we should be getting some answers.
Yep. So we will get there, but he says really the only two things that he's liked is the Caitlin's relationship with Julian. I agree with that. I like that. And Cisco Gypsy episodes, which I thought were good. But there were a lot more things in this season that I have really enjoyed as well. So, and I think in the last whatever we have here. Seven episodes, yeah. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I know it's going to get pretty exciting because we have some good things coming up to anticipate and have fun with.
Yeah, it's kind of up and down.
It is. It's up and down, and I get that. But, you know, I really enjoy the fact that the writers of these shows try different things, and we've talked over the years how sometimes it works for us and sometimes it doesn't, but at least it's not the same thing every week. At least we're not getting Flash beating another bad guy this week, same as he's going to do next week with some new trick. You know, I at least it is a long story arc that has things in life that we are excited to see, and then every once in a while, not so much. But
I the one thing, and we've mentioned this before, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I do want the consequences to matter. I don't want them to be able to just do a time travel thing and erase a bunch of stuff. And I was not liking what I thought they were doing with Flashpoint. I came to the realization that I'm actually enjoying what they're doing, but now it looks like, you know, depending on what could happen, Flashpoint actually could get reversed, like at the end of the season. Like they could bookend the season by having him somehow undo Flashpoint, and we'll go back to where we were with season two characters and stuff, and who knows?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I wondered at some of the things that it said, like in the Speed Force, like almost giving him permission to do, but...
Right, right.
But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure that they would do something that easy. That would be my easy way of getting out of it, but I'm not a writer, so...
Yeah.
a lot of little references here and there that were a lot of fun. I just wanted to mention those a little bit. You want to just take turns doing these?
Sure. So the first one was talking about the negative world, and we find out that Super Mario World is actually a thing on Earth 19 as well.
Well, why wouldn't it be? It's a good game.
I don't know.
I like how Snart says to Garrick when he comes in, he says, hey, getting a little slow there in your golden age. Mm. Get it? Golden
age. Because he's the golden age Flash. You know, yes.
Golden age Flash, yeah. That's yeah.
And I believe this was HR, I think, that said, to infinity and beyond, with the Toy Story quote, as they were heading off into the Speed Force there.
That's who they need to go get. They need to go get a multiverse Buzz Lightyear to help them.
Okay, come Mr. on, Lightbeer.
there was a nice little Iron Giant reference to the shard, you know, that Barry had cut off of Savitar. And in the end of Iron Giant, something similar happens. And if you've never seen Iron Giant, what's wrong with you? Come on. That is an awesome movie.
Yeah, make sure to bring a handkerchief.
Yes.
There was references to Peanuts, the comic strip, and Schroeder's versus Schrodinger's cat. And on Earth 19, it's obviously Schroeder's cat because Charlie Brown's the guy that plays the piano in Peanuts. The freaking Peanuts. No, it's not the freaking Peanuts. It's just Peanuts.
Sorry, that made me laugh more than it made Jesse laugh. I just wanted to mention, because Julian mentioned this, what a Luttinger liquid is. He said maybe that's what the shard was made out of, the metal.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know what that was, and I still don't really know, but I'll kind of share it. Sounds like it was, because it's a real thing,
mm-hmm.
Or at least it's an idea of a real thing from what I found out. But I see where Julian came to that conclusion, because it's something like a material that the density responds to the velocity that it's experiencing, or something like that, right? And the strength of it is determined by the interaction of things that are going on. So in other words, like the faster you go, the less friction it would have, mm-hmm. or the more you try to beat it up, the stronger it is. So that's kind of how I took it.
What's that cornstarch mixture that you put on, you know, speaker cones, and you know, it moves?
Oh,
weird.
Where you see the sound waves.
Where you try to punch? Yeah, and where you try to punch it, it's a liquid if you go slow, but when you punch it hard, you know, it seems like it might be like something like that. That's not called a Luttinger liquid. It's got some other name, I'm sure.
So
all of you are telling me what it is right now, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I didn't fully understand it, but I did appreciate that they really went out there and looked up something that was, mm-hmm. you know, theoretically real.
Yeah.
And they are trying to guess what this stuff is. So that was kind of cool.
And then the line, as you mentioned earlier, the "he's just a man, baby," is from Austin Powers, of course. So
yes, where the man baby battled Austin Powers for domination of the world. Is that how that was? No, that was something different.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Get in my belly. So,
all right. Well, that is it. On that note, I think that you and I will definitely run. I'll pull my Luttinger liquid socks on here, and we'll run as fast as we can.
Got it. So, well, if you guys were enjoying the episode, please be sure to head over to iTunes, leave us some feedback there to share with everybody else. You can also contact us via email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Reach out to us on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity, or check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
And hey, come join us at Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, where we're going to be talking about fun things over there too, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files when that returns later on next month. You can find those all on randomchatter.com, and of course, in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love to have you tell all of your Flash fan friends. Oh, I tried to do it and I still blew it. All your friends that like the Flash, and have them come join us, join in the fun, send us some messages like Greg did, and tell me how all my theories are totally wrong, and correct me, please, because I love to hear your thoughts. And remember, as always, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
We were on a break! This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.